Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. We're both wearing stripes. The button situation's a little different, but that doesn't matter because we're ready to talk about practice. We're going to talk some practice today. We had a viewing period, and Ben, have you heard the news about what happened today?
No, I've been like super busy at work, like busted it to get home so I could record with you this afternoon. So I have not. The guys at the office, they went to practice, but yeah. I was busy with clients, so I didn't talk to them, so they didn't clue me in on anything.
So if you're watching this, I talked about this in my live practice recap earlier today at 2 o'clock, and there was something that happened in the middle of practice that was pretty awesome. Like you would have loved it. So typically we get three periods, and they range from 5 to 6 minutes per period. And then that doesn't count, you know, with the warm-ups, like watching them, you know, stretch and, you know, get pumped up and all that kind of stuff. And there's a clock. And so like the clock runs, Ben, and whenever that period's over, they go to the next period and so on and so forth. Well, in the middle of the second period, okay, maybe not even the middle, maybe like right there just after the beginning, they blow a horn, and Golish is like, defense on the sideline, offense on the sideline. I want – basically, we're about to do ones versus ones.
Oh.
And we're all like, what? Were we about to see something pretty cool? And the first team offense ran out there. The first team defense, and I'm going to put an asterisk beside it because I don't think it was like the full first team defense ran out there. And, you know, this was the first day they were in all the way pads. They've been in shells for, you know, a couple days. Well, this is like all the way. And then they just went at it for a couple of plays. Like we actually saw their offense take on the defense. And then, you know, I'm not going to spoil it yet, but there was something pretty cool that happened. And then, you know, then the second team comes in, and then they ran some plays, and it lasted probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes.
Now,
that's the first time we did that. Now, go ahead.
Is that working on tempo, or is that working on swapping out, or just, hey, let's
see. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Because last year when Hugh was here, they had this period called Tiger Ball. And it was very similar to what we saw. The ones would go out there on the ones, and they'd run 5 or 6 plays as fast as you could. Mm-hmm. And then the twos would come in there and run 5 or 6 plays, you know, as fast as they could. I don't really know the point of it. I don't really know why he did it at this point in time, because it was like an impromptu thing. Like, I don't think it was on anybody's sheet. So, got to see some first team O on first team D. I'll open the floor to you, and you can ask questions.
You said it was very limited in play calling. So, what do we see? We see pass, we see run. What do we see?
So, the first play, I believe the sequence I got is right. The first play was a little run off tackle, probably 2 or 3 yards, nothing big. And then
Jeremiah
Cobb. And then the second play, they were going to throw like a slant to Keyshawn, and it's a great throw, but he missed it. He just dropped it. Like it was coming in hot.
Yeah.
And he dropped it. So everybody's like, But then Ben, Byram goes up top to Koger. Oh,
then we went deep
for about a 70-yard bomb, and it was a beautiful pass. And I was on the sideline, so it was like when he caught it. If there's ever film of this, I don't know if there will be because everybody had to put their cameras down. If there's ever film on it, I could have made the play. Like I was right there. Like I could have broken that pass up if I really wanted to. It was like right at me. He caught it. Beautiful play. It was perfect throw. Like you couldn't have – there's no defense for that throw. And he broke the tackle and went 70 yards to the house. Oh. And good protection, good really everything. You know, everybody questions his arm motion, his accuracy, like all this – the offensive line being able to protect – checked all those boxes in that one play.
And I'm sure it all went kind of fast too, because
Oh yeah.
I mean, it, like you said, I mean, that's the third play that happened. So,
I mean, there was pandemonium after that, and I kind of lost focus because we're being kind of ushered off the sidelines. Like, it was impromptu, so there was no plan for it. So they were trying to usher us off the sidelines and like into the end zone, so that we wouldn't be, I guess, like right in the huddle. Cause I mean, I was like, I wasn't trying to be there. Like, I was I was watching the linebackers, and then all of a sudden, you know, Gullish comes in and says, defense on the sideline, offense on the sideline. And I kind of got caught up in the wash right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty electric. The music goes blaring, and it was Enter Sandman.
Oh, it just gets better.
What
was the celebration? The players do any celebrations?
Dude, the whole offensive staff, everybody ran down there hooping and hollering. It was big. And I got the vibe in spring that didn't happen very often.
Yeah.
The defense pretty much handled the offense for the most part of spring. And I think it's something that, again, I just don't think that happened very often. And I think it was a big deal for them confidence-wise to be able to go put something on, you know, put something on the defense, like win a couple battles. It was cool to see. DJ was not happy.
Understandably, I'm sure he wasn't. Yeah, he just gave up a 70-yard play. He gave up a
– called everybody soft. Called the whole defense off, giving up a 70-yard touchdown, which is funny considering everything that's happened this week and all the articles and stuff that about being soft for staying at Grand National.
Who was getting their pedicures done last night? This is what led to this.
Yeah.
I asked about the celebration because as soon as you started going here, and I was like, oh, man, I hope nobody did anything stupid. There was a clip that came out. Shane Gillis got to attend a Notre Dame practice. You know, he's a big Notre Dame fan, the comedian.
Yeah.
Well, they all got yelled at because when they scored a couple of times, they were doing that gun celebration, like where they act like they're shooting people on the ground. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah.
And I was like, dude,
unloading the clip on them.
Yeah. Unloading the clip on them. And because they were asking Shane, like, how was it when they celebrate? He goes, oh, they got in big trouble. He's like, they were like doing the guns on the ground and trying to kill people. And he was like, that did not sit well in the locker room. And I will not say on this pod, like, what he said, the coach said, which was, let me just say, not very Catholic of him that he, what he said. So, oh, man. Funny. So that's why I was asking. I hope nobody did anything stupid celebration wise, but that, you know, you gotta love that because I agree with you. One of the things coming out of spring was, yes, it's cool that the offense has the entire playbook implemented and they've got everything, you know, put in place, but you didn't hear from media. Maybe they did it behind closed doors, but you didn't hear what you just talked about. We didn't hear about explosive plays taking place offensively. Not to mention, even when a running back could break one, it was a quick whistle. We didn't want anybody getting hurt, turning ankles out of the backfield. So it's not like you could see, you know, a running back make a big play either. So, that's got to be good news, especially against that defense. I mean, I've told you, Kyle, I think this defense is going to be for real. And they're going to have an opportunity to put the offense in some great positions to be successful this year as far as field position wise. I'm sure Durkin I told you, you know, Hudson Cock, he shared that video of what they do every morning. They get there at the facility by 6 and they don't get home till 10.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of, you know, what chewing's taking place right now during their quote unquote
nap time. What do you think they do all day?
They take like 2 or 3 naps.
Because practice is over at like 11 or a little bit after 11. So I'm sure they work out, probably go to the trainers.
They're required lunch at noon. They all have to, as a team, they got to do required lunch at noon.
Yeah, they got to go eat in the cafeteria.
Then they have a little rest time, like nap, whatever, and it's like an hour. Like some of them use it to play video games. Some of them basically lay down and take a nap. Like they go to sleep in there because, you know, those lockers, those things extend out. So they can like lay down at their, at the facility. And then they go back and they do team meetings, and then they do a second practice in the afternoon, at least like walkthroughs and film study. And then
probably
they,
walkthroughs. I don't think they're allowed to do 2-a-days anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like a walkthrough. Like they're not in shells or they're in shorts, and then they do more film study. They do game planning, and then they have a second workout that they do that they were talking about, and more treatment before they head back. Then they all eat dinner, and then they go back to the facility. So when these pedicures, that's why I sent you that Instagram post, when these pedicures and
boss closed by that time, guys.
Yeah, I don't know when that happens out at Grand National, but apparently the Marriott must be open late when it comes to getting that stuff done, because they literally get back to the facility around 9:30 or back to the hotel at like 9:30, something like that. And that, I mean, I told you, you get up, your wake up calls at 5 a.m. You got to be at the facility by 6 a.m. Buddy, come 9:30. I don't care how young and how energetic you are, you're going to be tired.
Yeah, you're tired.
I'm sorry. It's lights out. They're all ready to go to bed. So, and ain't no hanky panky, ain't no girls out there at the Marriott, ain't doing any of that stuff.
No girlfriends allowed.
No girls, no pets, no nothing. And so, I do wonder though, because they do have what I was told was, you know, position meetings. I wonder if Durkin this afternoon, those defensive backs may get an earful after that 70-yard bomb given up in front of the media that's going to get talked about numerous times this week. Just me and you. That's going to be everybody in attendance will be discussing that. And so the defense now, especially that you said Durkin called him soft, that will be the –
he said give up a 70-yard touchdown and on the third play, we're so soft. And he didn't say it jokingly. He was
I'm sure he wasn't. Is that, did he add any explicatives to it, or is that
there were some choice words in there that I'm not going to say.
Are you saying that the verbiage used now in practice is a little different than it has been the last couple?
There was an emphasis on soft. I'll just put it that way. There are a certain level of soft.
I love it.
Yeah. So one of the big things when you talk about the team, Ben, I was going to share this with you. People always ask, what are people's biggest concern? Like, what's the biggest concern? Like, you see that's the consensus out there.
Are you talking about like talent wise, or are you like
just any position that you're?
Oh, offensive line.
Yeah, offensive line. That's it.
That's.
I left today feeling better about the offensive line than I have in quite some time. And the reason being is because they were winning battles. Like, clearly the touchdown was a big win. That was a long protection. Like, it wasn't like it was a quick play. I mean, it was a longish developing route down the field that they had to hold, not hold, but you know what I mean? Like, they had to protect to get to get it off. And then there was some offensive line versus defensive line one-on-one stuff. And that's built really for the defensive line to win. Like, when you can block in line and there's people around you, it's a lot easier than when you're on an island.
Yeah.
And that's what that drill was. It was like one versus one on an island. And I tell you, man, there were some offensive line guys winning those reps. And it wasn't like they dominated. It was a good mix of 50-50. Like, they won some and they lost some. And I think that's exactly what you want to see, you know, in practice. Like, you don't want one side doing more than the other. If it can be down the line, like split down the middle, I think you're fired up. Now, Cody Sigler, on the other hand, nobody can block him. He is a mauler.
Isn't he the one that Byron mentioned during SEC media days that somebody had asked him, they said, you know, going against this defense. And he said Cody Sigler's the one guy. He was like, I'm tired of seeing him. He's in the backfield a lot.
Wouldn't shock me, because I think he is, and I think he will be for opposing offenses. So he's going to be living in their backfield. But I don't know, man. Felt good, felt different, I guess. It felt like the offense may be sort of rounding into form, kind of coming together. And I think that's pretty exciting.
Goal is still
hands. If you can score on this defense, you can score on any defense, in my opinion.
This defense, and listen, knock on wood, want to make sure we bogey here. I don't see this defense giving up a lot of 70-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I think that that's why Durkin was, let me just call it what it was, he was pissed.
I hope not.
Because, I hope not. But I think that's why he was pissed is because even with our records, the last 3 years, when you look at Auburn, the defense was not the issue. I mean, I told you there were a couple of third down situations that I wish Auburn would have been able to get off the field that extended drives or, you know, maybe a discipline issue where, you know, they got there too early on a pass and extended a drive because it was a third and long and they bailed them out on a pass interference or, you know, some guy accidentally grabs a face mask and you extend a drive. Like, man, that stuff's going to happen. Like, it's frustrating, but it's going to happen. But you didn't have the defense giving up 70 and 80 yard plays in order to lose it. And so, 3 years ago you did. I think that's when that, you know, and everybody always remembers the fourth and forever that we, you know, we rushed to. Thanks for that. But you know, for the most part, week in and week out, that's not something you saw was a bunch of 70 yard plays given up. So, feather in the hat to the offense for doing that. And defense, I'm sure they're hearing about it today. We'll probably hear about it all through the weekend.
Oh, yeah. And hopefully, you know, these next practice periods, Golish gets a little feisty again and decides he wants to do that over again because that was kind of that was kind of fun.
Well, it's your chance to kind of see real football.
Yeah, dude.
I mean,
it was ones-on-ones. Now, there was a couple of guys, like, for example, let me pull up my notes, the starting interior defensive line, like, you know, Cody Sigler's going to be in there.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to start. There's no doubt about that. He didn't go out with the ones. Now, he didn't go out with the twos either, but I don't think there's anything.
Otherwise, I don't get that 70-yard play up.
I mean, I guess maybe you could say maybe you could say that, but Buddy Mathis went in beside Dallas Walker. You had Jared and Deshaun Womack out there. And then Blake Woodby, which I think he's going to play a lot.
Yeah.
He was in there on – Koger instead of maybe potentially Andre Jordan, who obviously transferred in from UCLA, who's going to be your other number one corner. So that's the only little caveat potentially that there was as far as like the ones go. But like,
who was the safety that let the receiver get behind him?
It's a good question. It was either Champ or Sylvester Smith-Reed. I don't know. I couldn't see which one was on that side, but that was the ones that were back there.
Okay.
And it was kind of like in between too. So it was like I think he kind of looked off the safety and then hit him. So the throw was like in between, you know, in between the corner and the safety, like right in that little hole. I mean, it was perfect, bro. He just full stride, caught it out in front of him and he was gone.
Nice.
Good to hear from Koger too. Because I think some of the other guys maybe overshadowed him a little bit so far this fall camp, and he's made that big play. So that's going to be talked about a lot. It was really neat. Cool atmosphere to be a part of. It was pandemonium, though.
And, I'm sure.
Because I don't think anybody knew that they were about to do that, including, like, SID, instead of – other than Golish.
Yeah.
And last year, it was pretty – regimented, like the period five was Tiger Ball, and it was like, hey guys, period five, cameras down, everything, so we're prepared, like we know the expectations. And Golish just kind of threw a flyer out there, and there's people with cameras set up, and there was no real instruction that you shouldn't be recording, so like they're running around trying to make sure videos don't get videos of that type stuff. So
listen, he may not have told sports information and SIDs and media relations and all that. I can promise you right now, that man does not do anything that is not scheduled and is not regimented. He knew what he was doing. He knows you and I are talking about this. He knows that there are other pods talking about this. He knows this will be discussed on radio and TV shows because there has been – What does Auburn have?
Well, there was also the VIP. Like you could purchase those for these practices too. So maybe you're right. Maybe he knew he may have known that, but I don't think many other people did.
I'm telling you, this guy has everything planned from.
There's reason behind it.
Yes.
And so he wanted the people to see that and potentially see if they could, you know, make a big play. And yes. I think that would.
And that's the thing. You're putting them in a position to either succeed or we almost had it, or it clearly is an opportunity. Everything he does, when he speaks to the media, he ain't speaking to the media. He's speaking to fans. He's speaking to his players. He does an awesome job at that. Saban used to do that a lot. Spurrier used to do that a lot whenever he would talk to the media. They were always big on this. We'll get back to the players and the fans. Let me make it a point to do this in front of a microphone. I think it's the same thing now with media access and allowing them to see what you want them to see. Trust me, if he didn't want y'all seeing that, there's no chance that play would have been called.
No, I agree. And I will say this, that may sound nefarious the way you're describing it, like potentially that was all a setup. And I can guarantee you that while he may have wanted for people to see some first team versus first team, I don't think they like scripted it to where we just scored a touchdown. They just scored a touchdown just for headlines because I could tell because DJ, when DJ was mad and talking to the defense very, very tough, particularly the linebackers, I was the only media member over there.
Yeah.
So, like, it wasn't like he was doing it performatively for a crowd. It was like, I mean, you could tell, like, he was genuinely like, I'm so mad at y'all for giving that touchdown.
Were you uncomfortable, Kyle?
I was a little uncomfortable because I kind of felt like. I'm not supposed to be here, yeah. You know, you find yourself in a situation you're like, yes. I don't know if I should have heard that or not.
I don't know that I'm supposed to be here, and I'm definitely not supposed to be listening to this conversation right now.
Yeah. And we met, like, definitely don't need to make eye contact, you know, all that kind of stuff. No, it was fun. Good practice. Good vibes. Best vibes I've felt leaving a practice in quite some time. So it's fun.
I think you're going to see more of it, man. It's getting closer and closer every single day. I know that sounds very cliche-ish, but at some point, game plan is going to be implemented for Baylor, and you're going to see him working harder. I mean, he said it best. I mean, trying to get better every day. So. As I said, he's so regimented, so set, like he's got a plan.
Yeah.
And just the comments he's made about the whole, you know, the violence and being violent and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if there's one thing you're going to get that typical team that we used to be happy about with Auburn, that they're going to fight you. You're going to come in the room. They're going to lock the door. Now we may get punched in the mouth against some teams, the Georgias of the world, maybe even Alabamas of the world, but there's going to be a fight. You're coming in the house. We're going to lock the door, and by golly, we're about to go toe-to-toe and give you everything we got.
Yep.
I love
predict it right now. Do you think that happens again tomorrow? Like, do you think we get that period again tomorrow?
No, I think that was y'all's taste for the week.
I think you're dead on. You will take it and you will like it.
That's it. I think that was your taste for the week. You are done.
If they hadn't have scored, I bet we would have got another one.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the perfect scenario. That was the perfect scenario.
So, that's why I say I think he did it I'm not doing black helicopter. I don't think he did it knowing they would score. I think he did it. If it hits, it's like sweet. That gets out there. It's put in the universe. All these guys will have a little something to talk about, and then we don't have to show them jack crap the next few days.
Exactly.
we're gonna wet their whistle a little bit, give them a little appetizer, and after that, it's like we're shutting the doors. Sorry, guys. Dinner's closed.
Yep. Months worth of content we just gave them.
Yeah.
So. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll talk again tomorrow. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.